Good morning.
Wow. Matthew, you're right. It really feels empty in here. But that's okay. That just means it'll be more blessing for all of us who are here because it won't be spread to everybody. Anyway, I don't think it works that way. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to be reading quite a bit. So if you want to follow along, I should say, you can turn to Hebrews chapter 11. I'll try to read quickly, but sometimes if you read too quickly, people can't follow along. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen are not were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed when she was, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of sword, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for all of those that are here. Bless all of those that are traveling different places, some in Ashland, some in Illinois, and some places I'm not sure. Please be with me as I speak. Help me to speak truth and just have clear thoughts. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So today I have, as you can see, quite a lot, but it's not going to take very long, so that's the good news. But yeah, what I wanted to say about how broad it's going to be, that my thoughts might be a little scattered, so if it's hard to follow, I apologize. Okay, so the title of the message today, I'm going to use the board a little bit, hope you don't mind. If anybody else is planning on writing. So the title of the message today is Lay Aside Every Weight. Everybody see that okay? All right. But you can't see it, but it's there. So if you're writing notes, I told you what it says. You can't see it because you don't want to see my penmanship. But I thought that was clever. So there you go. Okay, lay aside every weight. And I took that from verse 1 of chapter 12. Anyway, the reason I read chapter 11 is because there's a few things in here that I noticed that come up and were kind of summarized in chapter 12. Let's go to 11, verse 13 to 18. We already read this, I'll just read them again quickly. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So Abraham laid aside his country, and it says he apparently, I'm assuming it's talking about Abraham, I'm sure there were others, but it says they left their country, and if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. So they laid aside their country and apparently didn't even think it was an option to go back, because what they were working towards was just so much better to them in comparison to what they were left in. God's heavenly country was much better, and he wouldn't settle down or be distracted by anything less. And I just read it also because I wanted to read everything at once. We see he laid aside his family. He laid aside Isaac, who was his only son. And it's really something to me, because it says somewhere in here, there we go, 19, accounting that God was able to raise him even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So he was like, well, God basically brought him to life from people who were dead, because Sarah and I weren't supposed to be able to even have him. So, yeah, God was Abraham's biggest reward. It says that in Genesis 15:1, God told Abraham right after he went out spoiling the king, all the kings, I am thy exceeding great reward. Wow. Let's go. I feel like I'm not doing it justice. I'm reading what I have written, but I'm realizing now that I probably didn't write exactly what I was meaning. Chapter 11, 24 and 26. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses laid aside his wealth and royal position. He saw the true reward was not in being wealthy, but by living for God and his people. I guess I am saying what I'm trying to say. It's just not coming out as eloquently as I was hoping. Basically, we're given these examples, this cloud of witness, of people who were just giving things up just because God said to, and they had faith that it was all going to be worth it. And I guess that's kind of what I'm trying to say, is that that's the example for us. According to verse 1 of chapter 12, it says, to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Yeah, I guess, in my mind, the difference between a weight and a sin would be, a weight is like a distraction, and a sin is like something you're actually doing wrong. And a distraction isn't necessarily wrong in itself. I guess that's why it says every weight and the sin, because they are different things. And I was trying to come up with different things in my mind of what a weight was, and I was like, okay, fear, pride, stuff like that. And then I'm like, wait, no, those are sins. So what's this? What are these weights? I really don't know. Anyway, I digress. Solomon in Ecclesiastes is probably, in my opinion, one of the most miserable sounding people in existence. Even though he had literally everything people are always trying to get. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. You guys already know this. I'm just pointing it out. You ever feel like when you're up here, anybody who speaks, you're like preaching to the choir. It's like, you just, all you have to say is things people have already heard 100,000 times. Wow. But it's good. We have to remind ourselves, because we can take things for granted very easily. Chapter 2, verse 1, I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly till I might see what was good, what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the sun, under the heaven, all the days of their life. I made me great works, I builded me houses, I planted me vineyards, I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water, to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, and peculiar treasures of kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men, as musical instruments and all, and that of all sorts. So I was great, and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me, and whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my portion of all my labor. And I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do. Behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. And there was no profit under the sun. He has everything. He literally has everything you could ever want. Like, according to what people are trying to get. And he's still... I looked at all the works that my hands had wrought, and it was all vanity and vexation of spirit. It made him so disappointed. He's like, I've been working for this. This is what everybody is always after, and it didn't get me anywhere. I still feel so empty. I guess I say that just to emphasize that sometimes, even though the weight isn't sin, it's still something maybe that is very attractive. And it's a big distraction because, yeah, it takes away from what God has for us to always be following after those other things. We see true joy and satisfaction come from serving and following after God. No real joy comes from serving ourselves. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 12. I want to look at verse 6 now. I was thinking about, as I was reading, I was thinking of different like metaphors that people will use. I'll just read, maybe it'll make sense. Verse 6 is talking about God chastening. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And a metaphor that came to my mind was like the smith, when he has gold, when it's not refined yet, you dump it in a pot and you make it really, really hot. And then it comes out and it's something valuable and you can use it. And then another metaphor I was thinking of was when you look at an orchard and you go there and you see the husbandmen, or whatever you want to call them, lopping off branches. It's like, what are you doing? You're mutilating the tree. But no. All those stubby little branches are just competing against each other, and no true fruit can come when there's that many things competing. And that's kind of the whole mental picture I want to put in, is that when we are laying aside things, all we're doing is making less competition for the good things in our life. Because in my case, anyway, whenever there is something that I cut out of my life, it's usually something that I should be prioritizing. Like whenever I run out of time, it's never breakfast that I say, oh, I'm not going to eat this morning, I'm going to read my Bible instead. It's usually the exact opposite of that. So we see, anyway, that probably makes sense to you, but it's not making sense. No, that's the opposite of what I was saying. Thank you. Appreciate it. No man can serve two masters, Jesus said. Either he will serve the one or he will serve the other. Having a multi-focus just makes us unprofitable in multiple areas. I should have just kept reading because that's exactly what I was trying to say with the pruning trees metaphor. Yeah. And I don't really have anything else. To conclude and summarize, decide for yourself what you're living for. If you're going to be a follower of Jesus, you need to recognize distractions from focusing on Him and remove them. Short and sweet.